Well, today, about 15 million Jewish people are going to be observing this day. It has at least four different names in the Jewish understanding. Many of them, of course, call it Rosh Hashanah. We understand that to mean a new year or their civil year. They also call it Yom Hadin. Yom Hadin means a day of judgment. Yom means day, and this is a day of judgment. Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah is a day they say is the day of blowing of trumpets. Teruah meaning trumpets. And the other is the Yom Hazikaron. Yom Hazikaron, that means a day of remembrance. Now there is a fifth name, and in the Church of God, we call it the Feast of Trumpets. They don't call it the Feast of Trumpets, but we do. And we see that there's a reason for that. Let's notice, first of all, over in Numbers 29 in verse 1. Numbers 29 and in verse 1. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation, which we are doing. You shall do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. A day of blowing the trumpets. Now, when you look at this verse, or this holy day in Leviticus 23, it says it is a memorial of blowing of trumpets. In other words, it's a day of remembrance. It is a memorial of trumpets, especially why and when they were used. So in this morning's sermon, we are going to look at the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets, especially when we're seeing the memorial of trumpets. So the title of the sermon is The Memorial of Trumpets. While we are here in Numbers, let's look at Numbers 10 and in verse 8. Numbers 10 and in verse 8. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So it was the priesthood, the sons of Aaron, they were the ones to blow the trumpets, and the reasons are now given why. Why and when they were to be blown. So the first thing we come across, the first verse we come across is in verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppress you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. And you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. So when Israel went to war, they were to blow the trumpets, and that God would intervene and save Israel. Now keep, if you could keep your place in Numbers 10, we will be coming back there. But let's notice an example of this over here in Joshua. We're probably all familiar with this story in Joshua. Chapter 6, right before they came to, or right after they came into the promised land, but right before they came to the city of Jericho. Joshua 6 and in verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty man of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once, and you shall do that for 6 days. And then in verse 4, the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. The seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It come to pass when they, with a long blast with the trumpet's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight before him. So the priests were actually leading the people around, and then once the trumpets sounded, they were all to shout, and then, of course, the walls of Jericho came falling down. We see something else in the future that will take place, and we find this in Joel 2. Joel 2. And in verse 1. Joel 2 and in verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, It is at hand. Notice verse 11. The Lord gives voice before his army. His camp is very great. Strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can endure it? Time of trouble, trumpet will sound. Now we heard already in the sermonette, Zephaniah 1, verse 14 to 16. And it's basically the same thing, the same wordage as we find here in Joel. But there's something else I want to add here in Zephaniah 1, verse 14 to 16. We see that it is the great day of the Lord. It's near. And it is bitter. The noise of the day is bitter. Mighty men will cry out. A day of trouble. And it says in verse 16, a day of trumpet and alarm. Alarm. It will be an alarm to the world. When I was in high school, every Tuesday morning at 10:30, the air raid sirens would go off for their weekly test. Now, these sirens were located on top of the building, school building on the roof. And if you were in a classroom underneath where those sirens went off, it was loud. Not only was it loud, well, the teachers had to suspend their classes during that time for the test to go through and then be over. Those sirens were put there to warn of impending air raids. Remember, we were all concerned back in the early 60s about what was going to happen. We had to hide under our desks in the early 60s to be careful, to be protected from any nuclear attack. And so these were air raid sirens. Well, since then, that has, you know, been changed to what we would say warnings of tornadoes or bad storms or something like that, or emergency situations. But when we would hear those, it could be a terrifying sound. It was an alarm. It was an alarm. And you wonder how loud that will be at the time Christ returns. And those trumpet blasts are not going to be some little type of thing that people won't hear. It will be quite loud. It will be an alarm. We read of that terror people will be facing in Jeremiah 4. Let's look at Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah 4. In verse 19, Jeremiah 4, verse 19. Oh, my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, oh, my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried. The whole land is plundered. Suddenly my tents are plundered, my curtains in a moment. How long will I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? People are going to experience terror. And this all happens at the time of the day of the Lord. And we also see Revelation 8. Revelation 8, verse 1 to 2. Revelation 8, verse 1 to 2. When the seventh seal is opened, silence in heaven for about a half hour. Because this is the time everything comes together. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. So each angel had a trumpet. And throughout the next two chapters, we see some terrible things happening. And all the trumpet plagues and all that occurs is quite detailed here in chapters 8 and chapter 9. We won't go through those particular chapters, but we see plague and destruction and death. And finally, notice when the seventh angel sounds, well, first of all, let's go to Revelation 10 and verse 7. Revelation 10 and in verse 7. In the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Everything begins to culminate when these trumpets of alarm sound in the sounding of the seventh angel. And then we find this over here in Revelation 11, in verse 15, we see the seventh angel sounds, and loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and we will reign forever and ever. So he returns. And in verse 17, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and one who is and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. And the nations were angry. Your wrath has come. They will actually fight against him. And it says the time of the dead that they should be judged. Now, when you look at the Greek, when we see the word dead there, it actually should read nations. Just as it, the first part of verse 18, the nations were angry, it should also say the time of the nations that they should be judged. Nations were angry, and the time of the nations they should be judged. Because the time of the judgment of the dead is after the millennium in the second resurrection. So that's referring to the time of the nations. And then you see latter part of verse 18, and keep this in mind, because we'll be coming back to this point, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, those who fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth. So keep that in mind, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, those who fear your name, small and great. So just as we read there in Numbers 10, that they, trumpets were used and as an alarm for war, we see that trumpets will be blasted out prior to the day of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord, prior to his return, and also right at the beginning of his return. Let's go back to Numbers 10. Notice something else here. Numbers 10 and in verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness and the appointed feasts, at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over your sacrifices, of your peace offerings, and there'll be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So we see a couple of things here in this particular verse. And there's a couple of things here. First of all, in the day of your gladness. This is the first day of the seventh month. It's the beginning of months. Actually, in the Hebrew calendar, this day is the pinnacle date that establishes the Hebrew calendar for the whole year. And then every month afterward, in the beginning of months, the trumpets were blown. But in this particular day, it is the day of gladness, because it does establish the fact that this is the beginning of the time that the trumpets will be sounded, when we know the understanding of this day. But notice also something else that is brought out here. They're blown over what? So when you have these holy days, like today, and in your appointed feasts, trumpets were blown over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial before your God. Now let's think about this for a minute. Today there is no temple. Today there are no burnt offerings. We do not offer animal sacrifices. But you know, what did these sacrifices point to? All of the burnt offerings, all the sacrifices of the Old Testament all pointed to what Jesus Christ would do. He would offer his life for us, as we understand that through the understanding of Passover. And then we had a responsibility. Each one of us has a responsibility to accept that sacrifice of what he did for us. And to realize that he would forgive our sins so that we could be reconciled to the Father. Then those who repent and are baptized are given the Holy Spirit. Now, we've already covered these two verses. We've already heard one through the special music. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52, the offertory music. At the sound of the trumpet, the dead in Christ will rise. Might look at another one, 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's look at another scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 16. The Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. So, who are the dead in Christ? Who are the ones who will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Those are the ones who have repented, have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, have believed in the gospel message, were baptized, received God's Holy Spirit, and they are the ones who will, at the time of the seventh trump, be either resurrected or changed. We see this in Matthew 24. And we saw this again earlier in the sermonette, Matthew 24, verse 31. It's important what happens here. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. This is the seventh trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So as the saints are resurrected all over the world, from the four winds, from the north, south, east, and west, and then these angels at that sound of the trumpet are gathering and bringing together all the ones who've died. And they will be, really, there's an order here. They will be resurrected first, and then those who are alive will be changed. So you see that in Corinthians. So it all happens in an instant of an eye, blink. But the point is that we will be gathered together by his angels at that seventh trump, and we will be with Jesus Christ. Remember Revelation 8:11, verse 18? You shall reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. So when we look at the trumpets, when they were blown in the past, there in Numbers 10, we see two important things. First of all, we see that they were sounded prior to war, and they will sound again prior to and at Christ's return. And secondly, we saw that trumpets were used over sacrifices. And those same sacrifices all pointed to what Jesus Christ would do by shedding his blood for our sins. And our hope is that at the seventh trumpet, his saints will become spirit and be part of God's family, all because of what Jesus Christ did for us. But you know, there's a third event to also occur. Would you know what that would be? There's a third event. We don't see it there in Numbers 10, but we see it in Isaiah. What else is going to happen? Let's look at Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27 and in verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, you children of Israel. So here we saw earlier that the angels are going to gather the saints to be with Christ in the air. Now we see that you, physical Israel, will be gathered together. It shall be in that day the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, they who are outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So yeah, there will be war. The day of the Lord, the seventh trump, Jesus Christ returns. At that time, the saints, those who are have God's Holy Spirit, who have been baptized, the saints who have accepted all of what Jesus Christ did through his sacrifice, they will be resurrected into spirit. But at that same trumpet, the great trumpet will be blown, and all of physical Israel will come out of their lands to begin to live their lives in the land of promise. There are some Old Testament prophecies in the Psalms that point to this coming time. All three of these Psalms are read in synagogues today. Let's look at three of them. Psalm 47. Psalm 47. Sansino commentary, a Jewish commentary, titles each of the Psalms, and this particular Psalm, Psalm 47, is titled God the King. God the King. What the Jewish people will do is they will sing this song before the trumpet, before the shofar is blown in their synagogues. Notice what is said in this particular psalm. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God the voice of triumph. So applause would occur. And it actually happened during the time of Solomon. It occurred when a king would ascend to the throne. Shout to God the voice of triumph. The Lord is the great king. He's king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob whom he loves. Keep your place there and let's look at Daniel. Look at Daniel 7. Daniel 7, and we see this prophecy here. And that is found in verse, let's start in verse 26. The court shall be seated. So God is going to be in charge, of course, Jesus Christ. He will have sent Jesus Christ. And they'll take away his dominion. We're talking about the one who is the pompous one, who persecuted the saints, as we see in verse 24 and 25. In verse 27, the kingdom, the dominion, the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So when we read Psalm 47, and we see he will subdue the peoples under us, that is referring to those who are the saints, and the nations under our feet, and he will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. Verse 5 to 7. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. So you have the sound of the trumpet, and you have these praises being sung before God. That God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly to be exalted. So the princes of the people of Israel, along with all those of Abraham, are being gathered together to worship God. This occurs after the angels sound their trumpets. This is after the seventh trump, after Christ begins to then rule. And this is very part of the gospel message of the coming kingdom of God that will begin to rule over the whole earth. See, the kingdom of God will rule over the earth. The earth will still be physical, and people will still be physical, but those who are the saints will be spirit, and those who are with Jesus Christ are going to be spirit, and in that sense, the kingdom of God will rule over the physical earth that's still physical. Now, let's look at Psalm 81. This is another psalm that ties in with the Day of Trumpets and the Memorial of Trumpets. It says here, it is a psalm on the instrument of Gath. Now, according to Sansino, the instrument of Gath was kind of like a tune, a musical tune associated with the wine press or vintage songs, you know, people that would sing at the time that the grapes were all brought in and wine was made. And so Sansino titles this a festival meditation. So this is something to consider. Psalm 81. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast day. That's an interesting statement there. Not only at the new moon, which today is, but at the full moon. So when does the full moon occur? Usually on the 15th of the seventh month and the 15th of the first month, and that was at the time the Feast of Unleavened Bread was beginning, and also the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the full moon. And notice in verse 4, it's a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I didn't understand. And so we realize that, again, this time of Israel going to be restored will occur. The excellence of Jacob will happen. And we continue here. Let's just go to verse 8. Hear, O my people, I would admonish you. O Israel, if you'll listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you. For I am the Lord your God. And so you see that they were to obey God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. How long did Israel accept that God was their God? My people would not heed my voice, and Israel had have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. And you see that constantly throughout the Bible. Oh, if Israel would only return, if they would only listen, but they didn't. And so they disobeyed, and they will be punished again. And we know the stories. We know the scriptures. There will be great tribulation. Remember, the heavenly signs are after the great tribulation. Great tribulation will be horrific, more so than any other time on earth. Jacob's trouble, we call it. But see, there's hope for Israel. Hope for physical Israel. Hope for us as members of God's church. Hope for physical Israel. The day of the Lord will begin with the angels sounding the trumpets, and then thankfully the seventh trump will finally sound. And the kingdoms of the earth will then yield to Jesus Christ. Let's look at another psalm, one more. And this is in Psalm 98. Psalm 98 and in verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Now, what's interesting about this particular psalm is that, and again, some of the Sansino commentary uses what you would have the Jewish tradition that they include in some of their write-up. But they have mentioned that this particular psalm shows all the nations are summoned to worship and acclaim God as their king. In other words, all nature, not only all people, but all of the creation acclaims God and thanks God for the redemption of Israel from captivity. So we continue here. God has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So this is kind of after Christ returns and they begin to see what Jesus Christ is beginning to do. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song and rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of the psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. And trumpets, in this case, we would be referring to the silver trumpets that were noted earlier in Numbers 10. It shows trumpets and the sound of a horn, two different instruments here. Silver trumpets and then the sound of the horn was the singular shofar. Shout joyfully. So it was a combination of those instruments, harps, trumpets, silver trumpets, and this shofar. And then notice verse 7, let the sea roar, the rivers clap their hands. Symbolic of the hills joyful together. Verse 9, he's coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He'll judge the world and peoples with equity. So in synagogues today, they will be hearing these particular words. But because they do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they recognize that he was a great prophet, but not the Messiah. If they would understand that he truly, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, these psalms would just blossom out in their minds. And I would suspect that at the time these people are resurrected, and they begin to recognize what Jesus Christ has done, and they'll go back into these psalms and realize, now I see, now I understand Jesus Christ truly is the Messiah. It's all fascinating, part of God's plan yet to be fulfilled. The Spring Holy Days and Pentecost are historical events. We understand them, that they already have occurred. We know the Passover did occur. We know that we are to continue to live our lives, making sure we get rid of the spiritual leaven. And of course, the Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost. This one today begins the future. The Feast of Trumpets begins the future. Christ is coming back at the sound of the trumpet. So as we begin to conclude here, the sermon, let's ask a question. What do we do in the meantime? I was talking to Mr. Meeker before services, and, you know, who would have dreamed years ago, we thought now, we would have been in the kingdom by now, years ago. I mean, back in the early 60s and 70s, we thought, 2019, can you believe it's Feast of Trumpets, 2019. Well, we're here. Well, what do we do? I want to read something, what the Jews are told to consider. This comes from the Jewish Encyclopedia. And in it, it says, the command regarding the blowing of trumpets contains this message. Let me quote what is in their encyclopedia. Awake from your slumbers. That would have been better given in the afternoon, but here we're in the morning. But still, so we can awake. You who have fallen asleep in life, reflect on your deeds. Remember your Creator. Be not of those who waste their years in seeking after vain things, which neither profit nor save. Look well to improve your character. Forsake each of you his evil ways and thoughts. Unquote. It's quite profound because they begin their repentance, their inward looking between trumpets and atonement. We take these words and really focus on, especially before Passover. But there's something about this here, about awaking and making sure we reflect and don't waste our years seeking after vain things. Look well to improve your character. And so we will conclude with what we find over here in Romans 13. Let's look at Romans 13. Let's go through a couple of these verses here, beginning in verse 10. Romans 13, verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And we know that Jesus Christ said, love God and love fellow man. And we know the Ten Commandments are all about loving, as we see in verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love another. And those commandments are then listed. Notice what follows. A listing here of some of these commandments, some of the commandments. Do this, verse 11, knowing the time. Now is high time to awake out of sleep. Now this is a new covenant direction. Not something that the Jews would understand at this point as Paul writes to the Gentiles here in Rome. He's saying this to all of us, knowing the time, it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. We are 1 year closer. We may have wondered, well, we should have been in the kingdom by now, but we're still 1 year closer than we were last year. It's nearer. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let's cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. We cannot allow important things to slip by. We are going to be celebrating in the next three holy days in the feast. The need to be right with God. This world is in trouble. And it's getting worse day by day. I don't have to mention that. We all know that. We see it. And it's depressing. And we don't even want to watch the news. I read an article where people are getting so angry they can't even cope at work. They can't even go to sleep at night because they're so upset by what's happening in this world. especially what's going on between people and what's happening. And they're fed up, but there's no respite. And so we have to recognize we are in some very serious times. And we're told to do something here. Awake. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let's cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. And so that's likened to be putting on this armor of God. And we're likened to be an outpost or an embassy of the kingdom of God. And so we're told to avoid three aspects here. Three aspects in verse 13. Let's walk properly as in the day. So we know that Jesus Christ is going to return. So let's walk now as we would be walking in the time he would come. Don't get involved in revelry and drunkenness. Do not get involved in lewdness and lust. Do not get involved in strife and envy. Each one of those things would take us away from God. Revelry is all involved in the partying that goes on in the world around us, the getting drunk, which seems to happen so often, so much, the lewdness and the lust. There are surveys that are done as to the most popular websites, what the most popular websites are, and you would think some of the news sites would be, or Google would be, pornography. That's the most popular website in the world. People go to that all too often. We've got to be careful we don't get involved in that. And then strife and envy. I know that you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we could begin to take sides of what's going on in the world around us. And the point is that the only way that this world, this nation will come to its senses is when Jesus Christ returns. And so we gotta be careful we don't get in the strife and envy that's going on today. And it's easy. I know I'm not saying anything new, and I'm not saying anything no one knows about. It's easy to get into the strife and envy with what's going on in the politics of the world today. We've got to be very careful of that. And so what we find from the Apostle Paul here is knowing it's time to wake out of sleep. Let's not get involved in this stuff, but rather, verse 14, rather put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So we've got to awake out of sleep. We've got to recognize what this day pictures. Because one of these days, sometime in the future, and we hope soon, all that's prophesied about the Feast of Trumpets will come to pass. And so we pray that God would speed that day.